Thanks so much for joining us for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. The last couple of times we've been together, our student ministry pastor, Tyson Schreckengast, has been sharing with us the investment that his parents made in his life, his brother's life. And then he and his wife, Amy, just started doing the same thing in a church plant, and now the Lord is giving them an opportunity to do that full time. And Tyson, last time we were talking about starting discipleship ministries with Cross Impact on UWM campus. How effective do you think it is to try to disciple young adults on a college campus?
It's definitely the Lord at work.
Mm-hmm.
You see many of the campuses and the things that are going on there at campus, and you definitely see that the need for Christians on those campuses is much needed. And so it is difficult to get things going and get things started, but with intentional focus and planning, I believe that the Lord will use that and honor that and really take that opportunity for Him to do His work in the lives of students there on campus.
Mm-hmm. I know my first ministry out of seminary was at University Baptist Church in Gainesville, Florida, right where the University of Florida is located. And we had numbers of professors at UF that were members of our church. And they would come on Wednesday night, and they would walk in and just kind of breathe a sigh of relief, like, thank God for church on Wednesday night, because the University of Florida was just a horrendous playground for hedonism and everything else. But yet their testimonies and their ministries began to have an effect, an impact, if you will, on lives. They began to invite some of their students, and it was really exciting to watch some of these students that were really leaders on campus. We had some track stars, and we had some basketball stars, and we had some really great public speakers, and on we could go, that began to gravitate to the church. And then during the summer, our church would hire interns from Christian colleges who would come in and for 3 months just serve the Lord and begin to try to bolster this ministry to the University of Florida campus. And it really began to be effective. And I know that's what you've seen in the Cross Impact ministry. And that, of course, is the goal that you have for this one.
Yes, Cross Impact has established kind of a twofold mission, and that's revitalize local church ministries and then reaching out to the local campuses. What's really exciting about Brookside is we have a tremendous singles group here of college students and singles. And so to see the next steps of how the Lord's leading to get these individuals involved in campus ministry, I really look forward to seeing how the Lord's going to use that ministry.
And as I said the last broadcast, it could be that someone that's listening to our broadcast this morning is a student at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, that they may feel like, man, I feel like I'm the only one on campus. I don't know anybody else that loves the Lord. And it would be a great opportunity for them to get connected with some of our students, not to pull them away from their church, but to give them a good fellowship group on campus.
Yes, you know, to get onto the campus requires 4 or 5 students to come together and start the process for the student organization.
Okay.
So in order to do that, we need students that are believers and looking for opportunities to share the gospel, to be a part of this ministry and reaching their peers there on the campus.
And it can start with just one, because Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. And so once he made that decision known, then 3 other young men, whom we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, joined him and said, "We're with you." And so they became a team of 4 that down through the years took a consistent stand, even to the point of going through a fiery furnace, to be able to take a stand for the Lord. But it started with one. And so if you're listening to this broadcast and you feel like I'm the one, don't feel like you're alone. Contact us and let's see how we can work together with you and begin to see this ministry accomplished on your campus during the school year coming up. Now, let's talk about the ministry of working with teenagers. And what would you say is something that parents need to be mindful of as they're working with their own teenagers? What kind of things would you say would help them develop a heart for God in the lives of their own kids?
I think the main focus with parents in devotion to the Lord and just being that good example of demonstrating their walk with the Lord, the parent just plays such a huge impact, a huge role in the teenager's life. To really be that example is just of utmost importance in the teenager's opportunity for spiritual growth. And so when families are struggling or there's issues at home, it's often difficult for teenagers to experience the Lord and do those things. But if they have that solid home atmosphere, it just leads to the opportunity for the teenager just to grow so much. And you can see it, you know, on a Sunday, you can look through just the teenagers and see who might be struggling at home.
Sure.
And just see that. So the home plays such an important role in these teenagers' lives.
Making sure that we as parents are not hypocrites.
Amen.
Not saying one thing when we're at church and then on the way home, other stuff's coming out of our mouths. And during the course of the week, that causes our teenagers to look at us and go, is this the same guy that was singing so piously and talking so righteously at church? Good night, give me a break. Hypocrisy is just a devastating thing in the eyes of a teenager, isn't it?
Yes, yes,
you know,
it is.
Tell me what you believe and then live it and let me see that it works.
Yes.
Because if it doesn't work, why do they want it?
Yes. Teenagers and young adults can quickly pick up on what is real and what is fake.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, again, another thing for parents to be aware of.
And they're also learning lessons of patterning a marriage. Because as they become older teenagers and then, of course, college age, they're possibly thinking of marriage. What kind of pattern do they have in their heart and mind that they can follow if the Lord leads them to a marriage partner and they get married? What kind of pattern do they have?
Yeah, it's a tremendous tool to guide them and direct them in the rest of their life, mm-hmm. and showing what they need to be striving for. And that's another encouraging part of ministry that I look at is to me, ministry is not just for me as the pastor, but it's my entire family being able to minister to these students and singles and others, and just involving my wife and my children,
mm-hmm.
so that these teenagers not only are seeing solid parenting and things at home, but they're also seeing it in their youth pastor and the student ministry's pastor and his family, and how their children are doing and respecting authority and things like that. And
right.
So just completely involving my family within the ministry.
So your kids are going to have to be perfect, right?
That's
okay.
That's difficult. That's difficult.
That's not only difficult, it's impossible.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
You know, we just let our boys know that, yeah, just because your dad's a pastor, people will be watching you, but we're not going to be trying to live our lives just because people are watching. You have to just remember the Lord is watching you.
Absolutely. And the flip coin of that is, like I said, being real. When we do have struggles with our children, the kids see the struggles and they see how mom and dad react. They see how the children react, and they just have an open book to what the pastor's life is like, and more importantly, what a Christian's home is like.
Right. I know when I did not have a youth pastor in one of my ministries, well, obviously that job fell to me. So I'm the senior pastor and the youth pastor for a year. And so gave us opportunities to spend time with the teenagers and then time with their parents. And it was really amazing the difference in the impressions that parents had of how well they were doing as opposed to how well the teenagers thought they were doing. You know, when it came to anonymous surveys, do you have a parent that has a temper issue? And we would ask that question of teenagers and oh my goodness, there were several times, oh, yeah, you better believe it. Then we would ask the parents, do you feel like you have a temper issue? No, I don't know. And so we would then at that point say, that's amazing, because 56% of your teenagers said, yeah, I've got parents that have temper issues, but now you guys give me 3% that say you've got temper issues. And it really helped them to go, really? Ooh. And so it was an opportunity for me as a quote-unquote student ministries pastor for that year,
yes,
to help them to see how are your teenagers viewing your home.
Right. You know, you can use your teenagers and children as almost mirrors,
yeah,
as what things really look like. And it's amazing some of the things that come out of your children's mouth to really make you think and rethink about the way you're operating, the way you're doing things.
It's kind of like they watch and listen to how we respond to our authorities.
Yes, yes.
What we say about our boss at work and what we say about our pastor when we're driving home or having fried pasta for Sunday lunch or something like that. You know, and what they're learning about response to authority would shock us, because then later we want them to respect us as the authority and respond to us with respect, and they're going, I'm just doing what I've been taught.
Absolutely.
And
we go,
where'd you heard that? You know, well, Dad, this is what I see in you.
Yes, and that's something that the Lord's really shown me, you know, as I get involved with the students and their lives. And, you know, you see, sometimes you think of the student or the youth, the teenager, having issues with authority, issues with the Lord and things like that. But really, it somewhat stems back to when they view authority, and if things aren't good at home or there's other things, it skews their view of the ultimate authority being
right,
the Lord. And so you see, again, how important the home is just in their view of authority and ultimately, you know, their view of possibly God, their father, through their own father that they have.
And I guess one of the last thing I'd like to share is, what do they sense is my attitude about serving the Lord? You know, is it one of joy and excitement and thrill, or is it one of drudgery and duty and like, oh man, I've got to go to church again. I've got to teach that class again. Oh man. And as a result of that, many times their idea of serving the Lord is so skewed by what they've heard and seen in me that they go, I don't think so.
Yes.
And so God help us as we bring this broadcast to a close, Tyson, to learn some very important lessons that we can hear from our kids and our teenagers that will help us be better representatives, better mirrors, as it were, of the love and the sensitivity and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, live what you teach, and when you do, you'll have followers, call disciples, in your own home. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you.